What's going on, everybody? We are coming to you live from Farmington Hills, Michigan at Take a Chance Records. I'm Will, a.k.a. Siren. We got Nate over here.
Yes, sir.
This is kind of a carry-on episode a little bit.
Yep.
Yeah, killed another fucking intro. Two for two today.
If you tuned into last week's episode, you would see who we had on.
This guy.
We got Mr. Nick Gilmer in the building.
Yeah.
Nick Gilmer Production.
What's up?
Good, man. Thank you for coming on.
Let's get the devs up.
We just had a whole other
episode,
hour and a half episode.
Yeah.
It's all about you now. It is kind of weird.
It's all about
you. Sitting, like, that's why I really liked my episode, and you probably really liked yours, because like we ask these questions all the time, and we're like, oh, that's how I would have done it, or stuff.
He's got some time to prepare it too, because of what we asked.
That's
last
true.
Episode.
You exactly. can you yeah, can yeah. think about your answer.
I feel ready. I feel comfortable.
So if you didn't tune into last episode, me and Nick met through our college's Snapchat story.
Shout out again.
And yeah, shout out GVSU 2024 Snapchat story.
Wait, you're 2024?
What?
You were 2024?
I was. Like I said, I bounced around college, though.
Oh, okay, yeah, okay.
I went to OCC for 3 semesters, then I went to GVSU for 3 semesters, and then I was just missing the side of the state, so I came back, and now I'm finishing up at Wayne.
Okay, how old are you, if you don't mind me asking?
I'm 23. I turned 23 in November.
Yeah. Oh, okay, so you were born in 2001.
Yeah,
same
2001.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I was in my mama's belly during 9/11, so that's how you remember it.
I was out. I was chilling.
Were you?
Yeah, February.
Oh, yeah.
My dad, like...
Oh, so you have a late birthday?
Say again?
You're in November.
Yeah, I'm November 5th.
Oh, okay. I didn't... I'm sorry.
You just missed
that.
It. 9/11.
For the people watching, to the audience, explain to them, like, how we got in contact through that Snapchat story, if you remember. I want to hear it from your side.
Yeah, so I had recently just started, like, really getting into the music stuff. So I was working at Guitar Center with Cole. And then when I was leaving, you know, it was last chance for discounts. And they give really good discounts. I was telling you before we hopped on the camera, they give you 10% on the, like, whatever they pay to get it in. So you can get a discount that's damn near, like, 40% sometimes.
Damn.
So I used that. Yeah, I know. It was crazy. Imagine that. Like, music equipment studio. Like I had to build a studio. That was the only option at that point.
Hey, guess
like,
how many guitars he has.
Oh, yeah, I got quite
Is it double digits before I guess?
Yes.
Okay. Is it, like, crazy double digits?
No,
13?
Yes. It's kind of depending on what you say. So I've got 2 basses, 2 ukuleles, and then 2 basses, 2 ukuleles, and then the rest are guitars.
Okay, so you got so that'd be 9 more?
No. I got 15 total stringed instruments.
Damn, I thought I got it right.
Do you sell loops?
Say again?
Do you sell loops?
No, I don't sell loops, no. I still record stuff with my guitar, but like it depends on like what I'm really feeling for the AB. Mm-hmm. Like sometimes it calls for a guitar, sometimes it doesn't. I started getting into music by playing guitar actually. During COVID I didn't really have much to do, so I picked up my dad's old guitar and I was like, you know, I'm just gonna go ahead and jam on this for a little bit. Became my guitar, and then I started working at Guitar Center, got really into it there, and then while I was there, I started to learn how to like record my guitar because I wanted to like get all the effects from like the computer. And then I learned how to do that. And then that slowly just transitioned into the beats. And I was kind of doing that on the side until I met Cole. And then Cole and I got together and we kind of like lit this spark in each other to start doing shit.
Yeah.
And so we went on those directions with it. And now I've got my own studio. And
is that at the crib?
Yeah, it's a crib.
Mm-hmm. And that's, you said, not too far from here. So
I'm thinking,
how far would that be from Downriver?
Where is he at? What city?
Hmm?
What city are you in?
I'm up.
Probably like an hour.
Yeah.
Around that. Because it's probably like 15 from here.
Might have to pull up on bro sometime.
Yeah, that'd be cool.
I was just going to ask, like, before music even got into the play, like your upbringing, you know, as a kid, what were you doing before music got in the picture?
I mean, I had a pretty standard childhood. I was kind of just a normal kid, man. I did soccer. I did karate for a really long time.
Oh, really?
Actually. Yeah, I'm a black belt.
Damn.
Yeah.
That's some crazy shit.
Yeah.
Black belt?
I haven't done it in a while,
black
though.
Belt?
But I remember some stuff.
Like, you could defend yourself. If some drunk guy was trying to attack you, you probably could fuck him.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I work out, too. So.
Oh, yeah. So he's donezo.
Yeah.
I don't know why that
in my mental state, you know, like he might be as Jaden Smith we're talking about the best, beating the time. I got that mental state that's just like, I was telling my girlfriend this the other day. She like, I don't remember what was happening, but we were in the car and I think I slipped a little bit and she was like getting a little paranoid at first. And I'm like, baby, you don't understand. In my mind, I can't die, So I just take the situation and I'm just like, adapt.
That's fair. Uh-huh. That's fair. That's how you, that's how you go through life. I remember what I was going to say. Remember what we were doing before this episode? I'm not going to say what it is, but what we were looking at something.
Yeah.
Yeah. Him, the loops and what you talked about.
Yeah.
That would be a good way to do that.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, that'd be dope.
Yeah, that's what popped in my head. If, like, if you had any loops.
Yeah, that would be sick. I wanna, you guys, that might be, that might be something to talk about.
You said you were big on soccer as a kid. Are you into any other sports, like, right now?
Yeah. I mean, I'm a massive, massive Lions fan. Okay. So, like, I'd prefer not to talk about football recently.
That's fair. That's
fair. You sure you don't want to talk about it? Get it off your chest right now.
We can talk about how the Chiefs sold.
Can I just talk about how much I'm disappointed in Ben Johnson?
For going after the prank went viral?
Of
Did
him,
you see that?
That shit was hilarious.
You didn't see the prank?
Some kids, some, like, high school kids got Caleb Williams' phone number.
Oh, yeah, I did see that. That, that shit was crazy. Hilarious.
And Caleb Johnson's like, shit, okay. I mean, Caleb Williams is like, shit, okay, yeah, let's go. We're going to kill it next year. And then it actually happened.
Yeah, then they FaceTimed him, and he's like, oh, dude, I got played.
Yeah, like, that's funny. For real. But, like, and then it happened.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And, I mean, we lost our DC, too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We're losing a lot of
I'm
coaching.
Not mad at Aaron Glenn, though. Aaron Glenn was fine. I'll give him that because he had, like, very few injured players and he busted his ass. I mean, that was his best chance to get a head coaching job. Same with Ben Johnson. The thing that made me mad about Ben Johnson is that he was taking interviews during the week and then he came to game plan. And I saw that pass from J-Mo and I was just like, you threw a pass from J-Mo under triple coverage. Like, anyone should have very clearly said, hey, if you're getting this ball, if this is your play, how are you not going to throw that out of bounds? Take the ball.
Or at least just run.
Exactly, just running. Yeah, run. Exactly.
He had scored a touchdown off a run, like a crazy trick play. He could have just tried again. Like, I would have rather him done that and got 4 yards.
I would have rather. I would have rather St. Brown throw a pass. If we're gonna throw a pass
didn't
with a wide receiver, I'd rather have St. Brown
play.
Didn't St. Brown throw one to Goff earlier this
year?
Yeah,
but didn't he play QB like in like college or high school? I swear I saw something like
St.
that.
St. Brown?
Yeah,
maybe.
Like,
I don't know. But I'm just saying, like, he's more of a veteran.
Yes.
For our team, at least.
J-Mo's very, like,
he's more of the captain leader role,
I agree.
So I think having him throw that, I think, and I don't know, and we've seen it before. He's thrown him a pass before. So.
I'm not saying this is how I feel, but I think a majority of Detroit Lions fandom right now feels that this was the year, and this was the year to do it.
Yeah.
And Ben Johnson didn't prioritize it, and he let down a whole city.
I think
so. He's one of the most hated people in the history of Detroit sports.
Do you guys
now
follow Champagne Athletics on social media?
Mm-mm.
So they've got – so there's this dude. He's from Detroit, and he's got, like, this tier list, and it's just, like, different players, organizations, and everything, and he ranks them in his tier list. And, like, at the very bottom is Hate You Forever, and there's the priority patch in there. There's Matt Patricia in there, and he just added Ben Johnson to it.
Those are the only three?
There's a few more. There's quite a few. I think Brad Allen, the ref in the Cowboys game,
okay,
he put that dude in there. There's a few in there.
You see,
he's
Matt
fun.
Patricia just went to
Ohio State, dude.
Are you big into college football, too?
Say again?
Are you big into college football, too?
Yeah.
Who do you support?
My girlfriend goes to Michigan. My girlfriend goes to Michigan, but my sister actually goes to State.
So
I'm kind of torn between the two. But here's the thing: is I've always slightly leaned towards Michigan because I got into Michigan when they were better at basketball too.
Like who? The Trey Burke era.
2018.
When
they went to the NCAA championship.
So that's like Derek Walton, all them guys.
Walton Jr., who did all right in the NBA.
Mo Wagner was that?
Yep, Mo Wagner.
Oh, Jordan Poole was on that team.
Jordan
Poole.
Yeah, no, they had a good squad.
Not to say that Jordan Poole didn't pan out, because he did all right. Like, at Golden State, got paid. Like, he was, like, damn near their second option during that finals run. But there's no way. There's no way that kid did what he did in college and then got picked in the first round. There's no – it does not make sense to me. He was a second rounder by – I think he was like a lottery. No.
It was strictly because of his tournament performance that his
staff
went
up so
much.
That Houston shot. That game winner he hit.
Yeah, that Houston shot.
But Mo Wagner and his brother.
Franz is way better.
But Mo's a dog,
NBA,
too.
At the NBA level.
Yeah,
Franz,
I agree. But Mo is a dog, too. Like, Mo can get – if you're guarding him and don't give him the respect that you should, he'll get buckets.
Oh, yeah, no. Yeah,
a lot of those European guys are like that, though.
Mm-hmm, 100%.
If you're a big NBA dude, are you? You're big NBA or no?
Yeah, I was actually at the Pistons game where they had the longest losing streak. I was there.
Really?
Damn.
Yeah, there was this dude in front of me. He had the paper bag ready.
Did you buy tickets for that reason?
No. So I actually went to a event. This was when they had started to lose. like when the losing streak really was like, I think they were like 2-10 or something. Shit. When people were like, okay, we're going to be bad this year.
We started off 2-1.
Like, yeah, we were 2-1, and then we lost 28 straight. But it was literally, I went to this event for the Pistons at their headquarters because I was doing, I don't remember exactly what it was. It was like an intern workshop, something where they were talking about getting into like internships with sports teams and stuff.
That's dope.
But I went to that, and part of the deal was they provided tickets. Like, you pay to go to the event, but then you also get tickets to a game. Mm. And I was like, okay, well, this one I can go in later in the year, and it's the second to last one before the end of the year. That's where, you know, it happened.
That's hilarious.
Yeah, so I kind of dropped off the Pistons after that, but I've been paying attention a little bit more.
How do you feel? I was going to ask. How do you feel about them now?
Oh, fuck, so much better. This is what they should have been last year. That's what pissed me off.
The part that everyone's like leaving, like forgetting, and why a lot of people are mad at Monty Williams. Because like at first, I was very like, I don't think Monty Williams should get the blame. Like, they just might not work together, those guys. He was giving guys like Corey Joseph 25 minutes, and then Ivy was playing like 19.
Should we had to?
That last year?
Yeah. I'm trying to remember his name. We picked him like fifth
overall. JB Bickerstaff?
No.
Killian.
Killian.
Yeah. Oh, I thought you said the coach. Didn't we have JB Bickerstaff for a minute?
Now.
Yeah, we do now, right?
Yeah, he's that coach
there,
right now.
There was a dude before him.
Monty Williams.
I thought there was a dude in between them, I'm saying.
No.
No.
For like...
No, because Monty got fired last year, and this is this dude's
Monty?
First year.
Oh, Dwayne Casey.
Yeah, Dwayne Casey.
But he just moved to president.
Yeah. Okay. I just had to remind.
But they got rid of everybody. The shit that has changed is like Killian's gone. Some of the vets are gone, and we picked up other ones, which I still don't think you pay Tobias Harris that much money, but he has been all right.
No, he's a great vet.
I think
to have
the reason
room.
Tobias works so well is he's been here before.
Yep, I agree.
And he's a great vet.
I agree.
Great vet.
Malik Beasley is one of the most underrated
breakout
signings we have had in 10 years. Like,
breakout.
He has killed it. Best signing since Anthony Tolliver. Tolliver was a fucking don't you dare. Tolliver was that dude in Detroit. I'm going to post. This is going to be a short, and I'm going to put the picture. You don't have to put this.
The Anthony Tolliver highlight tape.
Of him just pointing at the camera after he gets an AM1. I was watching it live. I'm going to look up Anthony Tolliver.
Pull up the Anthony Tolliver Pistons mixtape.
Bro, he. He did get DeMar dunked all over him that one game, though.
Yeah.
Game winning and one dunked all over him. But we're letting the young guys run. We're letting them play. And
that's
Cade
what I like
is fucking
too. Cade is
balling.
Cade's got control now. That's kind of what was really changed too. Cade's got control. They've given Ivy the minutes he needs to pick up his.
And then he had the injury he had.
Oh, that was horrible.
Cade did not perform well in the 3-point contest last night.
No, he did not. But it's okay. You're not known.
Did you watch
the
dunk contest?
No, I didn't. Did Mac McClung win it again?
Bro.
Did you see the dunks that he did?
No.
Dog.
Dude,
okay, so
I saw Mac McClung. I saw Mac McClung at a G League game.
Really?
Yeah. So I go, like I said, I go to Wayne State, and you get a free tickets to the Motor City Cruise.
Yes.
Because they play at Wayne State's stadium.
Yes.
Or their field house, and I went there, and I'm looking on the court, and I'm like, this dude is fucking. I was like, it's fucking Mac McClung right in front of me. I was like, damn.
That's dope.
It was kind of cool.
When I was in high school, Cole was saying last episode, his band was really well known. Mine is cheerleading, my school, mm-hmm. and their state finals were where the Grand Rapids Drive play in Grand Rapids.
Oh, yeah, Van Andel?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that was really cool to go see that. And then all of a sudden they move. You got it?
Yeah.
You got to watch these dunks, dude. This is the first dunk he came out with.
Keep in mind, okay. For people watching at home, Blake Griffin jumped over the hood of the car.
Oh, yeah. That was, yeah.
The hood of the car.
Mm-hmm. I still believe I'm who was it in 2016 who got runner-up? I'm trying to remember.
Aaron Gordon.
Aaron Gordon had the best dunk contest ever. All right, so here's Mac McClung's over a car. Oh, my God.
He
jumped
over the car. He almost snapped his leg.
Yeah, he didn't go over the hood.
That's wild.
And he went behind his head, too.
Yeah.
He didn't look at the rim. I haven't seen that.
Okay.
I feel like he lives every dream of every young white
guys on a hoverboard.
This was my dream, dude. I remember lowering the rim, watching those old school dunk
That's
contests.
What I'm saying, bro.
Oh,
he's living the dream of all of us.
Look at that, dude. Windmill with the right, jumping over a dude doing a 360 on a hoverboard, then puts the left hand with the
It's like no one else wants to try for the dunk contest anymore. The reason they keep bringing this dude back is because he's the only one who actually does
well,
it.
Well,
no,
Ja
Morant said, you're bringing the fun back. Like, maybe I want to join.
Yeah.
Exactly, yeah, because it got
That's
so
wild.
Boring. After 2016,
rim.
It
yeah.
just went completely
I mean, the
downhill
back, yeah,
because
the
we were like, what else can we do at
Facts.
This point?
To be honest, he should have jumped over Wemby. It would have been better.
Oh, yeah.
Jumps over Evan Mobley, who's still 7 foot, taps the rim.
And oh, I didn't see he tapped it.
Dunks it.
It's crazy.
Crazy.
His hang time is wild.
And then, oh, I think that's
that was it. Yeah, that was the last one. He had four. Crazy. He had 450s. He got a perfect 200.
Dude, that, that was one of the best dunk contest performances I've ever seen from.
Hell yeah!
One
Shout out Mac McClung,
bro. Hey, come on a podcast. That'd be fucking dope.
Mac McClung,
bring all three of your trophies. He's won three in a row. He's up there with like Nate Robinson.
No,
and
first
like,
ever three-peat.
And yeah,
really?
First ever three-peat.
So who's some back to backs? Nate went back to back. Nate Robinson.
Yeah. Did Dwight go back to back?
Yes, Dwight went back to back. Dominique had to have gone back to back because back then it was just him. Jordan.
Jordan definitely went.
Jordan definitely went back to back. I think that might be it.
Yeah, probably.
I mean, that's an elite class though.
Speaking of a three-peat, the Chiefs did not pull it off.
Zach LaVine went back to back.
Oh yeah, Zach.
Yeah. Chiefs did not pull it off.
Chiefs did not pull it off.
And I could not be happier.
What'd you think of the Super Bowl?
Man, I was with my girlfriend. We were watching it, and starts off, and it was just like beauty from the moment I opened my eyes on that screen. I could not be happier, and I was here thinking like this is gonna be so miserable. It's like, cause here's the thing, is I didn't want to root for Philadelphia either.
Cause fuck Philadelphia.
Exactly, because like you've seen the way their fans behave,
and they win everywhere.
Exactly,
that's the thing. People always are like I hate when people are like, oh, the Boston Red Sox, they hadn't won in 84 years, but the fucking Bruins did. The Patriots had Tom Brady. The Celtics won 17. Like, shut the fuck up.
Exactly,
Chicago.
Yeah.
Ooh, the Cubs haven't won in 100 years. Which, that was cool. Okay, fine.
Yeah.
The White Sox won in 06. The Bulls won six championships in the 90s.
Exactly.
The Blackhawks are sick. Like, shut up. Bears fans, I do not feel bad. Detroit gets nobody right now.
Yeah. We had the Red Wings.
Yeah,
but,
we did have the Wings.
The Wings, that's it.
They're finally doing good again. But,
yeah. All the Detroit teams are looking on the up for sure.
Definitely. But the biggest part about the Super Bowl that broke my heart was if Kansas City was just going to be that bad.
They shouldn't have made the Super Bowl.
The Lions would have beat them, dog. No, Baltimore should.
I don't think we're beating Philadelphia, to be honest.
I don't
you.
Either.
With our defense, we honestly
injured,
got spared.
Yep. Saquon would have killed us.
Yeah.
Especially how locked in Jalen Hurts was. That dude, I think that was that moment that like a player, like, okay, like when Kobe took over for Shaq, when Shaq filed out and like really was like, okay, I'm that dude. I think that was his moment where he just took over.
I'm just, dude, the Lions
season
just
breaks my heart. I don't think they're done.
It's the first time I can say next year can be our year.
I think we have a 2 to 3 year window.
That's fine.
Yeah.
I think we have a 2 to 3 year
but
window after this year.
Oh, okay. After this year. Okay.
Yeah, I think if we don't,
we got 2 to 3
years.
Yeah,
we got at the very latest, I think 2028.
Yeah.
I think that would be our absolute last chance.
Cool,
and even then is kind of pushing it.
Hutch is going to come back. We still got Jared Goff. We still got St. Brown. Gibbs is going to become the best running back in football, which a lot of people were pissed that we picked him. Which
I
in my head, I was
I
like,
was mad about it too because I was just expecting like whatever backfield was available. Like,
yeah.
I was just expecting a DB, and then I heard I didn't even pay attention to the name. I just heard running back, and I was like, what?
Yeah.
And then I looked up at some of his highlights, and I was listening to people who like I listened to Alabama fans.
Yeah.
That's the thing. That's what I paid attention to. I saw running back from Alabama, and I'm like, oh, we're good.
Yeah, dude, we drafted so many people from Alabama over the last like 5 years.
Oh, yeah.
Fucking smart.
We got Terry and Arnold. We got
trust Nick Saban. Now, who do you think? Like, who do you think the Lions will look at and be like, oh, they're coached well? Like, who's
Alabama's still gonna have that thing, dude?
Probably
it's gonna be
Georgia
like Duke.
Now.
Like, Duke doesn't have Coach K anymore, but like they're still like always gonna be relevant.
He's about to go back, Cooper.
Yeah. To Duke?
He said last night that he wants to go back.
Dude, he's not going back.
Wouldn't that
Shut
be
up.
Wild? Cooper Flagg, the Dukes that you know
he wants to go back for a second year.
That's what he said in an interview.
March Madness hasn't even been, bro, at least try to win a championship.
That's what I'm saying.
First.
No, bro.
Why does Duke always
no,
have
No, he's
like,
just
the...
saying that, dude. He's trolling.
He has to be, right?
Yeah,
unless if they win, he'll leave,
dude. Even
if they
don't
win, he's for sure.
Even if they don't win,
what if they get
Duke
knocked off first round?
Duke is known for their one and done talents.
That's true,
and he's a one and done talent.
Computer,
I could see him going. I mean, like maybe I guess, but I don't think like he
I don't
should.
Know, man.
I don't think he should.
I don't know, man. If they get knocked out like first, second round, they don't even make like the Sweet 16 or the Sweet 16. Yeah, I bet he comes back.
Michigan State's winning it this year.
I think so. I don't want to put it out there.
I don't think
we got some dudes.
They've been good, too.
We got some dudes. We got Jason Richardson's son, Cohen Carr can jump out of the building.
Dude, I saw Cohen Carr when in Houston when he went to the high school dunk contest before he went to state.
Really? Oh, like the McDonald's All-American?
It wasn't the McDonald's. It was something. But it was the same time that they were doing the Final Four.
Oh, damn.
So I went to that, too.
You went to the Final Four?
Yeah, I went to the Final Four.
Damn, so who'd you see? Sick. Who were the games? This past year?
I went in 2018 and 2024.
So 2018.
Damn. Yeah, 2018. That was when Michigan played Villanova and got their ass whipped. That's when I kind of became a Michigan fan.
So that's
fan.
Like Brunson, wasn't it?
Brunson. Yeah, that was Josh that Villanova 3-point team.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's pretty much the New York Knicks right now.
Dante.
Yeah.
I don't know if he was on that team. Yeah, I don't think Mikal Bridges and Dante DiVincenzo didn't play together.
They didn't?
No. They both went to Villanova, but like one of them was there and the other one was the next, you know, something like that. I don't know who it was. I can't tell you, but that's pretty dope, though. Yeah. That was when Ayton went number one, right?
2018, that sounds right.
With Luka, this was like third, and Trae Young was whatever.
That sounds right.
Yeah, I think so.
Because 2017 was like the Lonzo year, right?
Yeah, 2017.
Wasn't Lonzo part of the same draft class as Luka?
No.
Luka was after.
Lonzo was with Tatum.
Oh, I'm thinking Trae Young. Yeah.
Was it 2019 you're thinking of?
Bagley.
19 was...
Marvin Bagley.
Yeah.
Not, I don't know if that was 2019. 2019 was
but 19, yeah.
Who was before Zion and Ja?
Yeah, that was
2019.
And then
2020 was
LaMelo. 2021 was Cade.
Uh huh.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
We got there.
Yeah. We got a lot of sports talk in this. Yeah, I want to move on to music talk.
Yeah, let's do music, man.
So we kind of touched on like you just kind of picking up a guitar over COVID.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You never did. Like music growing up, you know,
I did, but it wasn't related. So how I did music was two ways. So the first rap song I ever got into was Thrift Shop by Macklemore.
Okay. Beautiful song.
That was like the first one where I was like, oh, this music's kind of cool.
Yeah.
And I heard the saxophone in it, and I literally joined band just so I could play the saxophone. And play that song. So dead serious.
Oh, so you were diehard.
I learned that song, and I hated it because my mom made me stick with band for the next year until I finally let her switch me to, workshop in eighth grade.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But then during that time, I was also hanging with my buddy. His name is Will, and we were different Will, but yeah. But we were hanging out and we were making and we were just fucking around on launch pads. You remember launch pads?
I think so.
Yeah, so those are like the ones, I can't remember his name, it's like So Neville or something like that, but there's this YouTube channel and this dude who would like click the launch pad and like the things would just light up in a whole bunch of different ways and you could play the song. So I bought one of those just to do that.
Mm-hmm.
And then from there I kind of made a little bit of music and then completely just gave up on it once high school came around.
Mm-hmm.
And then, like I said, I graduated high school in 2020, and then around that time was when I picked up the guitar. I actually picked up the guitar a little bit earlier, but like maybe a few months before. But then when COVID hit, I was like nothing to do, so I was like, I'm just gonna play the guitar. And like I said, that led more into the beat making.
Yeah, I was gonna say what got you to just be like, you know what, let me move this over to actual beat making.
It was when I left Guitar Center, really, because I wanted to have a studio. Because I was leaving, I was like, might as well just get all this stuff. And then once I got it, I was like, okay, I just actually blew a lot of money on this shit. I got to for real, like, lock in and actually do something with it, make music
right,
with it.
Yeah.
Like, I can't just have all this and let it sit around. So, like, that kind of almost, like, forced me to, you know, work with it more. But that's kind of how I got into the beat-making side of things. And then with Cole was really where I locked in because when I came, truthfully, Cole and I weren't hanging out that much while I was in Grand Rapids. We were kind of friends, like, because we saw each other every day at work. But then when I went back, I was like, he's still cool. Do you still want to see him? So I pretty much just drove back and forth throughout 96 the entire time. Before I just decided to go with my normal name, I was actually going to call myself 96 Nick because I drove back between Grand Rapids and Detroit all the time.
That's hard.
That is tough. I got, like, a lot of questions about Ableton. Is that the first DAW you picked up?
Yes.
Are you fluent in any other DAWs?
Reaper.
Reaper? I don't even know what that one is.
We talked about that. TJ mentioned that.
Yeah, Reaper is...
TJ that did Lil Baby song.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I think it was one of his.
Okay.
I remember
I thought you were talking about TJ
logo.
Major for a second.
Yeah, that's why, yeah.
Yeah. When I was doing the Launchpad stuff before I really took music seriously, that was on Ableton. That was on Ableton Lite. But then when I really started taking it seriously. I used Reaper because it's free to download, and then you have like 60 days, but then it's like you got to pay, but you can just keep going, like still testing. Remember like how WinRAR works, but if you ever like do the like Minecraft plugins and shit, where you download it and it's
I haven't played Minecraft in so long. I'm not familiar with that, to be honest with you.
Yeah, but do you know like the program WinRAR that like used to open up zip files?
Yeah.
And like you keep going like still testing out. Like that's pretty, it's the same thing that Reaper does. So it's a paid software, but you can realistically use it for free.
Okay.
And then when I left Guitar Center, I got a discount on Ableton, and I picked that up and decided to like make Ableton my main DAW. So I can use Reaper and Ableton, and all DAWs, if we're being real, like they translate very well. It's just a matter of getting used to the interface at first. But as far as actually doing the EQ and all the other stuff, it's still best based on your ear. It's still based on what you're hearing.
Yeah.
Okay.
The same song, you can mix them very, very well in each individual DAW.
See, I've heard nothing but great things about Ableton, and I want to be able to pick it up. I'm on FL.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I've seen videos of a lot of producers doing stuff on Ableton, and I do want to eventually try to learn it, but I don't know. It looks very complicated to
me. It's actually really easy, if I'm being honest. Because for me, I make my beats. I don't use the timeline to make my beats. What I do is I use the little mixer. So there's two modes in it. So you can kind of just have your tracks, your recordings, and everything. So you can have a MIDI, MIDI tracks, and then audio tracks. And so your audio tracks, you can record vocals, you can play your guitars, you can do all that sort of stuff. Then your MIDI tracks, you can have whatever you want. And it's literally like a list of different clips, and you can just click through the clips. So if you want to try something new or something, you just copy paste down here and you can play all the clips at once. So you can kind of like live DJ in a way and see how you want to build the song. So I'll do that, and then I'll go over to my track, I'll go over to the actual like time view. And then I'll place it down there. I'll add some more effects, fuck around with some of the reverb, all that sort of stuff. And then by the time it's done, I've got a track.
Yeah.
That's dope.
I just need to, like, see it, like, live in action. I feel like if we work something
that... Go into my studio, man.
That's what I'm saying. Welcome, if we work on something that we were talking about off camera that I can't really speak on right now.
Yeah, of course. Hush, hush.
We're going to have to do something through Ableton just so you can kind of like show me how things work.
Yeah, dude,
Ableton.
I'm totally down. But, yeah, 100%. That's dope.
But yeah, you're close. I'm excited. Where do you like draw your inspiration from when you're like coming up with melodies or something like on your instruments?
So, it comes from a lot of different places. It'll come from a lot of emotion sometimes, really, is what I'm feeling. Like, I kind of just get in the mood to make music. I never really like set aside time. I kind of just have to like pick it up when I got time. I'm really busy right now with work and school, and my home life has recently like kind of gone crazy. Long story short, my dad left.
Okay, I'm sorry to hear that.
Yeah, it's been kind of difficult, so that's why I've been taking a bit of a hiatus right now.
Yeah,
but like stuff like that, or like you know, if I'm thinking about my girlfriend and I'm feeling really good about her, I'll try and go in there and I'll try to see like what I can make there, if I can build some like strings or something. But you kind of go off emotion, and you kind of like it's almost like you feel an emotion and you feel the beat. I really don't know how to describe it. And then you go in there, you try to make it. If it doesn't work out, I really can't force it sometimes. You know, writer's block is unfortunately one of those things that really gets me. Like, it's very difficult for me to overcome writer's block.
Oh, you I didn't know you write too. I thought you were just straight.
No, like writer's block for like beats.
Oh, you're just saying like the creative block.
Yeah,
of it.
Yeah,
okay,
yeah,
okay,
just
okay.
That sort of stuff.
Yeah,
I mean, like you were saying. Like, everyone wants to, like, push and try to be as big as you can get, but, like, life gets in the way sometimes. Like, that shit, it happens.
Yeah,
so
exactly.
It was good on you to take a step back and, like, just be Nick for a little bit rather than,
exactly,
you know?
It's taking that step back, and then when I finally, like, this year, I've finally gotten everything back into, like everything kind of went downhill, like, fall last year, and I kind of fell off for the rest of the year, but as soon as, like, I was making sure that I was still going to pass all my classes and, like, I still had my job in order, then I was like, okay, we're trying to build up things, like, back one into one. So like recently I started working out again, like I got that into the rhythm, and now I'm like actually focusing on my diet again. So I'm cutting weight, I'm tracking my protein and all that shit, and then like it's just building on those little things, and then when music is ready to like sort of get locked into again, it's ready. Like I've done a few tracks in the meantime. The reason I haven't posted is truthfully just because I've been taking that time back, and I'm gonna start posting again really soon because I got a whole bunch of music that I've been
doing. Beatstars, or do you throw them on YouTube too, like as type beats?
I put them everywhere.
Put them everywhere.
Yeah. So they're on Beatstars. They're on SoundCloud. They used to be on SoundCloud, but I ran out of space on SoundCloud, and they weren't getting any plays there. Because their SoundCloud's algorithm has been
SoundCloud
dog shit.
Is weird.
Yeah.
It doesn't work anymore.
It had
its era, because it used to be a great place to find great music. But then the recommendations just became horribly bland, and it like
I don't like the layout of it. I don't like the layout of it on the phone. Yeah. The app on the phone, I don't like the layout of it.
No, it's very confusing. Yeah.
The app in general is too mainstream, but like no one mainstream really cares about sound. It's like too small to be big and too big to be small.
That's where you go. You know? Yeah. That's where you go when you don't want to try to clear a sample or something. You know what I mean? Like
that, yeah, like if I have
putting stuff out like that.
Yeah, me and Chance have music that we talked about putting out on SoundCloud because we're not going to put it out on everything.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So you said you're like fluent. You're really fluent with the guitar and the MIDI. Are there any other instruments other than you said the trumpet, right?
Saxophone.
I'm sorry, saxophone.
I used to play the saxophone. I don't have that anymore. I haven't played the saxophone since seventh grade.
Are there any other instruments you can play? Like, do you play the drums? Or anything?
I mean, when I make my beats, I do keys. Like, if I want to learn, I never really learned songs on keys, but I can learn songs on keys if I want to. Really, it's just not really a passion for me. I more use it as a creative tool.
Like shit.
Yeah, and then I can also play the drums a little bit. I'm not the best with my tempo, but like I've got an e-drum kit that I can sort of just go to and feel out a beat if I want something. Yeah. I can play, since I can play the guitar. Do you play any stringed instruments?
No. Mm-hmm.
No. So the guitar is a really unique instrument because if you learn the guitar, you can pretty much play any instrument with frets. So the way it works is for a ukulele, you pretty much just tune everything up 5 octaves.
Okay.
Or not 5 octaves, 5 semitones.
Okay.
And then you drop 2 strings, and you've got a ukulele pretty much. So have you ever, you know what a capo is?
A capo? Maybe. If I saw
this little clip that goes over the neck of the guitar.
Yeah,
If you put that on the 5th fret and then just ignore the last 2 strings and just play whatever song you want to play, you're playing a ukulele, essentially.
Okay.
So you just take those shapes and move it to a ukulele. Mm. And then a banjo, it's like the guitar, but same thing. You drop the 2 notes, and then you've got the high string, which is just tuned down a little bit. So if you've got a shape like this, you literally just move your finger back 2 spaces, and you've got the same thing.
Huh. So you can play, basically, you can, what you're saying is, like, you can play, like, on a normal guitar, you can play a ukulele or a
banjo.
Yeah, I mean, it takes a little bit of music theory to fully understand what you're doing, but if you know your shapes and you can, like, modify them a little like, you can play it. The easiest one to play from guitar is bass, because for the most part, it's tuned the exact same way, and you're, instead of playing, like, a whole bunch of notes at once, you're only really playing one note.
That's one thing I want to poke your brain at when we cook up is just music theory. I don't have the most music theory knowledge. I'm not educated that much, and I feel like you got a good little brain for that. Just explaining that with the guitars is crazy. Like,
could you play a violin? Like,
no.
On a guitar?
So,
I don't know how that works.
So the reason that you can play that a violin doesn't so much work, the violin, like the more orchestra instruments, is because those don't use frets. So the frets make sure you're always in key.
Okay.
So there's like a little space in between them. And as long as your finger is on there, the string is touching the little metal bar, and that's going to shorten the distance that it's playing. So it doesn't matter if you're touching it right here or a little bit back here, you're still going to be playing the exact same note. But if you're playing a violin, you've got to be exactly on point, exactly on key with the note. Huh. And then at the same time, you got to learn how to use the bow. You're holding it at a very uncomfortable position.
Yeah.
Like, I can play a lot of string instruments. I can dick around with something else. Violin, I'll never be able to do.
That's something I'd never be able to do. It's kind of crazy that it's like one of the hardest, like you're saying, like one of the hardest ones to do, but like it's one of the prettiest, like, sounds.
Yeah.
You
it's
know?
So beautiful, man.
Yeah.
It's so beautiful, and I wish I could, but I don't have the time, and I don't think I ever will.
I wanted to ask you, said that your dad had the guitar before you, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I'm assuming he grew up playing guitar. Like,
nope.
No?
My
I was just wondering if it, like, you picking up guitar, like, ran in the family at some point.
No, I'm the only musician in the family.
Really?
My mom played, clarinet in college a little bit, I think. I'm not 100% sure, but yeah, no. I mean, my dad, long story short, he's bipolar. When he was feeling a little bit higher, he was getting, he bought a guitar, and then he was like, oh, okay, I'm going to learn how to play it, and then he never learned how to play it. I was like, I'm going to learn how to play it. And I actually learned how to play it.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
What's on I should ask, what's some projects or songs that people could go check out that you've worked on?
So I draw my projects in a weird way. So because they're beats, it's also about making sure I can find the best way to get it out to people. All my beats are sold as collections. So if you look at everything, I drop 10 tracks at once and they're collections. And they're kind of organized in a way where you can listen to them as track lists. What I'll do is I'll make a whole bunch of beats, I'll pick the best ones, and then I'll organize a track list based on, I think this flows into this, flows into this.
Yep.
So there is almost an emotional aspect behind it, but there's no lyrics. So I'll post those. They're not really given any titles, but you know, I'll take a cool picture. So my most recent one is Beat Collection 6. And that one, I took a picture of this this statue out in the sky, and I think it was Grand Haven when I was out there. Mm. Yeah, just by the light post, this little statue, and it looks so crisp because the sky was so blue. You couldn't even tell it's a picture or something. It almost looks like an AI something, but it's literally just up at the sky, and it's this bit of like this like statue looking thing.
Okay.
And like I took another one picture of the Renaissance Center for another beat collection, and then like I said, I just organized them, and then I kind of just dropped them on a weekly basis.
Damn. That's kind of similar to what me and Trap Suey are putting out right now. Is we so I've been adding like skits to mine. So I kind of do essentially what you're doing, but EPs and no lyrics, right? It's just the beats that me and my buddy worked on. But like we at the beginning, we have like I don't know, like cool like little skits. I don't know. I just thought that was cool that you put out the beat collections because it's similar to what I'm doing right now too.
Definitely, that's what I thought of.
What else is on the horizon for you? You know, like what do you have in the works right now that you're willing to share?
Yeah, so I'm getting back into actually recording stuff. I do have a bunch of music that I'm actually going to drop soon. When all this happened, I had a whole bunch of other stuff that I can really like keep on track of. I've got I probably got about 25 songs that are ready to drop.
Oh wow.
I got like 3 that I'm still waiting to release for this Beat Collection 6, so that's probably going to be coming within the next week or two. Okay. Probably around the same time you guys drop this podcast, I'll start posting those again.
Perfect.
And then I'll probably have another Beat Collection still in the works, and while that's going, I'm going to just try to, you know, get back in that studio, try to pick up where I left off. I've got some stuff that I'm excited about. I'll say that.
Do you ever get like a creative block? And if so, how do you overcome it?
Weirdly enough, I step farther back. I think the more you try to force music, the worse it's going to turn out.
Yeah.
Mm. Every time I've tried to force music, I've come up with something where I'm just like, this is embarrassing. Like, I genuinely listen back to it. You only hear my best stuff. That's the thing. When I go into that studio, I go in and I'm making something that night. And if it's really good, it's coming out. And a lot of times it's not. Like, I'm going in there and I'm trying everything. I've got ideas in my heads that I think are beautiful and works, and then I try to create them and they don't turn out the way I want.
Yeah.
Sometimes I got an idea in my head and I go to write it out, and by the time I create, like, I'm finished with the song, I literally go back and it's in a whole different key. It's in a whole different tempo. It's like a whole different song.
Yeah.
But it, like, the long story short is, when I have that writer's block, I kind of step back. If I force it, I don't get anything good. So I step back. I kind of focus on myself. I'll go to the gym. I'll kind of just chill out. You know, obviously you can scroll on your phone or something. I try to find better things to do productive. But if that's the thing that can like shut your mind down. Another good thing is I'll take like a late night drive. I love late night drives. Mm. I love just putting on music in my car, kind of jamming out. When a new album comes out with my favorite artist, that's when I get the most inspired. That's when I really start to lock in again.
That kind of leads me into like one of my next questions is like, what producers or what artists and in, like inspire you?
Oh, that's good. So, Cole really got me on Travis Scott. I wasn't listening to, here's how my relationship with music went. I was really into the basic rap stuff, like pretty much what's ever on radio going in on high school. And then by the time I got into the guitar, I slowly faded more into rock. Strangely enough, what got me was the fucking Motley Crue movie, dude.
Ooh, The Dirt?
Yeah, The Dirt, dude. That movie got me into rock and roll. And then I started listening to rock and roll, and then I got more into heavy metal, like really heavy metal. I was actually in a metal band for a little bit.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I had an 8-string guitar, dude.
Wow.
Bro, I was going to bring this up on the last episode because he was talking about how he played drums in band. I was like, that's Tommy Lee from The Dirt, like from Motley Crue. That's how he got good at drumming, was playing in a band, like high school band or something like that. So that's funny that you say that.
Yeah. But I was in a metal band. I was really into metal at the time, and then that kind of started fading more into progressive rock. My favorite band right now is Polyphia. Do either of you guys know Polyphia?
I've heard the name.
Not familiar.
They're an instrumental band, but their guitarist, Tim Henson, he does some crazy stuff. Everything that I record with a nylon string or an electric guitar you hear in my music is with his signature guitar. It's I use his plugins, too, to make my tone sound a lot like his.
Yeah.
But the music is incredible. It's very modern. Their drummer kind of does the trap style, but he's using real drums.
Damn.
It's really smooth. It's really crisp, and it's just... It inspires me like no music ever has,
yeah.
Especially on the guitar aspect. And they are heavily inspired, like I said, kind of trap. And then by the time I got more into them, I was on Grand Rapids and I met Cole. And Cole was in, he's like, dude, you listen to Travis Scott? And I was like, you know, I've heard some of the songs. You know, I heard fucking Sicko Mode. I really didn't listen to Travis Scott, though. And then I was like kind of chilling out and I was like, all right, you know, like he's telling me how much he likes it. Cole's a good friend of mine. Let me just put on his music. So I just listened to all the Travis Scott albums in order, and by the time I was done with Astroworld, I was like, holy shit.
That's fucking awesome.
Because like, I used to think it was just like another basic rapper. Like you give him some basic beats, you kind of rap over it. It's kind of flows the same. And like his music isn't that deep, but
the production.
I'm a producer. I listen for production, and Travis Scott's production is like
insane.
And that kind of also ties into Kanye. His production,
crazy,
absolutely insane too. So incredible. I wish I could do the stuff that he does on the music side of things. It's
there
just
you go.
Like
you gotta say on the music side.
I gotta cover my bases there. if we're strictly looking at his music, it's incredible. I mean, I remember the first time I heard Dark Fantasy, dude.
Man.
Took me to another dimension. I was driving back. I was seeing my sister because I was at a GVSU at the time, and my sister was at Michigan State. Mm. And I was driving back from seeing her, and I remember getting on the freeway, and as I'm picking up speed, like the fucking drop happens. Like, can I get much? Or how can we get much? Yeah. That shit, like, oh my god, dude. That was another one that really got me into it. Like I said, the production really probably also happened because of the Polyphia music that I was talking about too. That's where you'll hear a lot of like my guitar influence come from.
Okay.
I'm trying to think of what else. Polyphia, Travis Scott, Kanye. I love Kids Cudi's music a lot too. I'm more just listening. I don't really take too much inspiration from like, you know, his production styles are too much. Like it's, you know,
yeah. It's
a little bit more standard. It's still really good and I love his music so much, but like Travis, Kid Cudi, and Kanye are probably my three go-to artists in the car.
Yeah, I like that answer just because of the production aspect for all three of those artists. Because, like, there's other artists, they don't have the best production, but they're going to come with some hard bars, some hard-hitting drums. Like,
there are some great artists who have some really bad production, and it's a shame to see sometimes.
Yeah. But sometimes simplicity's key.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah, look at the way Metro came up, dude.
Yeah.
I mean, it was simplicity is key, and then he just knew when to experiment, and he did it perfectly.
Right.
That was, you know what actually got me into production probably more than anything? It was Heroes and Villains.
Mm. Great album.
I remember when it came out cuz I was like listening, cuz that's when I started getting back into rap.
Yeah.
Cole's like, "Yo, you hear this album's coming out?" And I was like, "No, this is like, all right, put it on," cuz I knew Metro and I knew a lot of the artists and I was putting it on. And I was just like from the moment it started, I was just like enthralled with that album.
It's a fantastic album.
Yeah, and I would try to copy the beats on that. Like, I got this one beat, I think it's called Volcanic, that I totally was just like listening to Metro Spider the entire time. And I was like, I wanted to kind of get
We've all done that.
Yeah, exactly. Like, you hear something, you almost try to create
a
beat
that
that's
sounds
like
Drake back to back, brother.
Of course.
I feel you. Yeah.
I wanted to ask you, what do you think your biggest weakness is as a producer? Like, what's something you want to improve on or know you need to improve on?
I want to break out of my mold a little bit more, because like I said, I kind of do the thing where I like experiment in the production window or the mixing window, and then I kind of just drag and drop into a track. But I notice it becomes kind of repetitive a lot of the time, so I'm trying to build more stuff in the track list and everything and actually experiment with that. So like just remembering to do things like trying new things, like how does this sound reverse? I can take the 3 seconds it takes to click the reverse button on a sample and see how that sounds or something like that. Or I can double time, half time, experiment with the drums. Like, I can do so much more, and that's my biggest weakness, is I know I can do more because I hear when I do more and it does good. It gets a lot of views. It gets people buying the beat.
Yeah.
And it's just, I know I can do more, and I get disappointed in myself when I don't. You know?
Yeah,
that's fair.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
yeah.
If you could make a collab album with any artist.
Oh no! No, no, not the water.
Kick it was the, like when Wayne. It's like when Wayne spilled his lean. You ever seen that clip? And he's like,
"Oh my god,
that is such a fuck up."
If you could make a collab album with any artist in the music industry, how about let me rephrase this into a producer, one artist, and then you also get to bring along another producer.
Okay, so kind of like okay, let's see here. I want to say it's probably between like Cuddy and Travis, between those two.
Scott's.
I yeah, exactly. Yeah. I think kind of like Cole said, I'd love to produce for Travis. I'd love to have him on an album. And then as far as a producer, my favorite's Metro. It's like I love Kanye's music. I think his music is overall better, but like what brought me into music, what like really decided to make me want to be a producer was listening to Metro.
Yeah.
It was the first time I analyzed beats, you know.
Right.
Cuz I was like, this is a producer album. Let me see what a producer can do when he's given the spotlight. And and I was like, you can do this much behind the scenes? I was like, fuck, this sounds amazing.
Yeah. Hell yeah.
Mm-hmm.
My personal favorite question to ask, 5 dinner guests, dead or alive?
I've thought about this more as like a dream blunt rotation.
That's
but,
fair.
but I'm a 5 dinner guest. Yeah. I'm picking a lot of Detroit. So first of all, I want to have a lot of the stars there. I need Barry Sanders.
Ooh, okay.
I need Barry Sanders. I need Calvin Johnson. Ooh. I want to meet Calvin Johnson so fucking bad, dude. let's see here. Calvin Johnson, Barry Sanders, I'd love to talk to. I got to have some music in there, so I'm going to say... I think kind of what Cole said about Kanye, I think he might take up too much of the room. No, I do want to pick his brain, but like that dinner becomes about him.
Right.
I think Kid Cudi. I like Kid Cudi because he seems like a really down to earth dude a lot. Like
chill guy.
He was the original chill guy. like that, like Kid Cudi was just like, he's very wise, he's very smart, he's very socially aware too. I like that about Kid Cudi too. He never really hides who he is.
Right.
That's what I like about Kid Cudi. So I'd say he'd probably be the one musician I'd really like to have there. I'd also have Metro there. So that's four.
Yeah.
Fuck. If I'm going to say one more. Danny Brown. I'd love to meet him. I remember the first time I listened to...
Am I thinking of the right Danny Brown?
Danny, how you feel? Isn't that Danny Brown?
No,
I'm wrong.
Okay. Yeah, it's a different thing. But Danny Brown, did you ever listen to Detroit vs. Everybody, the actual song?
Yes.
So he's the one that comes in and he's kind of like
fucking
wildly spit and like you can hardly understand what he's saying. I love
he's a Detroit guy.
Oh, yeah. He's Detroit.
I knew the name.
I know the name, but I was thinking of like someone that I went to school with of a Danny Brown. Anyways, I'm sorry.
Yeah. But Danny Brown, he's phenomenal, and he's never really broken out of that mold. He's always been Detroit. He's always stuck to it. He's always been if you watch his interviews, he's a funny fucking dude, too. He just seems like a cool dude. Like, if we're talking dinner guest, Danny Brown would be up there.
Yeah.
I think if you're talking, like, Detroit artist who you'd want to meet, I mean, of course, you know, I'm fucking, you know, suburban white kid listening to Eminem. So, you know, of course you want to talk to him.
Right.
But if I'm talking, like, I feel like Eminem would kind of just be, like, hood up at the table, kind of, like,
just be chilling.
Comment, whatever. But Danny Brown would be a personality. And I like people with personality. I love talking. I've always said if I could have a 5-minute conversation with every person on the street I walk by, I'd love to. I'm a massive extrovert.
Awesome. Yeah.
Love talking to people, especially people who are like that.
Yeah.
So, like, that's why I'd like Danny Brown. That's why I'd like Calvin Johnson.
Yeah.
That personality, I'd love at a dinner.
Dude, Calvin's a dog.
Calvin's
a dog. Where do you think he ranks among top wide receivers of all time?
Number one, zero question. I think
number one.
I think it's zero question that he's number one overall. I think the only question is if he had a ring, there'd be zero answer.
No argument.
If that man got even one play, the fact is we talk about him like a top three wide receiver all time.
He
didn't even win a fucking playoff game. Exactly.
That's wild.
Yeah, that
it's hard
insane.
To put. It's hard not to put Jerry
Rice
at one.
Yeah, when you say
one.
It like that, when you
it's
say
hard
it
not
like
to
that,
put Jerry Rice at one. But
he has 4 Super Bowls, right?
Exactly. Like that's why you have. I feel like that's.
And
why.
He, of course, he has all the records, but he fucking played the longest.
And
too.
He had Joe Montana.
He had Joe Montana.
Is that not a argument right there? Though you said he played the longest.
That's true.
That is, you know, that is
at a high level. He played at a high level.
I mean, Randy Moss was that dude too.
Yeah, he did. Randy. And Calvin Johnson. You listen to his interviews. I mean, you know he's like with the weed companies and all that shit. Now,
I love
right?
Calvin. Yeah, he's hilarious.
Mm-hmm. But he's like he talked about it in an interview because I was listening to him talk about his brand and he was talking about how he used weed for pain management a lot of the times because he had a med card and he was talking about how it was like the only thing pretty much keeping him on the field.
Damn.
Because like he'd just suffer from injury after injury injury, dude, he'd play like as hard as anyone else. That's the reason he retired early. People think he retired early because he was just fed up with not winning anything with the Lions. No, he retired early because he gave it 100%.
How old?
And he got
how many
nothing.
Years?
Dude, he didn't play long.
No, yeah. He retired in like 2015. He was drafted in 2007, I think.
Shit,
that like sounds 8 right. years or something. Yeah, he didn't make
he
it.
He played
decade.
8 years, didn't win a single playoff game, and we still talk about him like he's that guy. He was.
That's why I say he's the. If we're talking yeah. about who could play that position better than anyone else, it's Calvin Johnson. Never before you've seen a man of that size and that strength with that good of hands and ball control.
Yeah.
Do you think that's what LeBron could have been if he played football?
No.
I like LeBron, and he would have been all right, but like he's a basketball player.
Yeah, we can't talk about.
He's a basketball player, but I think. His skill set, his athletic skill set, I think it would have translated to football as well.
Could he have made the NFL?
You said you're a big LeBron guy, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
I fuck with LeBron. Mm-hmm. He could have made the NFL. He could have.
Think so?
Would he have been a like all pro or pro bowler? No, probably not.
I mean, he's 6'9", running that fast.
There's
like, dude, 50.
There's 50 guys like that in the NFL.
6'9"?
I mean, like, okay, maybe not 6'9". But, like, how big's Gronk? How big's Gronk?
That's a tight end.
I'm just saying, but
Gronk
how big is
would have been playing wide receiver or tight end.
You think? Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
So how big's Gronk? Like 6'6", 6'7"?
Yeah.
He's huge. He's that. And how big, like, muscle-wise, like, while he was playing?
Bronk's 250.
But, like, I feel like Gronk was bigger than
that's
that.
That's crazy.
Like, Gronk had muscle, but he had, like, lean basketball muscle. Like, he was cut. Because of all the cardio. Football, those guys are just straight up, like, muscle. Yeah. So, like, I don't know. I mean, maybe. He is a genetic freak, so it probably would have been, like, he probably could have done it.
He could have made the NFL, but, like, that's the most unwilling saying comfortable. Because I can't give someone props and say, oh, he would be one of the greatest wide receivers of all time if he didn't even play in college.
He didn't. He barely played high school. Did he play his senior year? I think they didn't let him.
No, I don't think he did.
Yeah, because he was LeBron James at that point.
But he was still going crazy.
He had some football.
I think he could have been a very highly recruited person for football.
Oh yeah, 100%.
I feel like he would have got recruited for football because of his basketball. Like if they would have been like, "Oh, you can come do both."
Didn't Ohio State want him to
do
both?
Yeah, but I think that was because like they really wanted him for basketball.
That
would
have been crazy. If you could listen to one album for the rest of your life, an album with no skips, what album?
My Beautiful Dark Twisted Fantasy.
Okay. Okay.
Easy.
That was quick.
Those are the best ones.
I know. That was quick.
No, because there's zero question behind it. Like I said, like as I was explaining earlier to you, College Dropout, I think, has better songs. But if we're talking about listening to an album, I love the album experience. I need, like, that's to me, you can only be an 8 out of 10 album if you don't have, like, something behind it. You can never be a 10 out of 10 album, in my opinion. You can't even be a 9 out of 10 album.
Nothing's
if there's
perfect.
Nothing that flows. That flows throughout the entire album.
Right.
And that whole sequence of songs is just about the highs and the lows and essentially trying to work out who he is as a person.
Yeah.
It's very introspective, which is weird in a way because it's also him being very, very cocky at the same time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think, and then just the way the songs and the beats flow and everything on that, every single beat on that album is incredible. There's not one beat on that album that I would not listen to just as the track without the lyrics.
Damn.
It's literally Dark Twisted Fantasy, the fucking guitar riff and gorgeous, and then the fucking vocals and power and everything.
Yeah.
And then it's all the lights with the fucking trumpet. It's literally every single song on that album.
It's beautiful.
I'm glad that you appreciate that side to the production of the way a project flows together because the average listener, the average ear, does not take an album like that. Like,
no,
I know people that just shuffle an album when it comes out. I'm like, what
that's
are you doing?
That's insanity.
Like
to
that.
Me.
That's one
Ridiculous.
Of my biggest pet peeves, dude. Like,
I didn't believe people did that. Because I used to do even when I didn't listen to albums is I'd play it and I'd just go through song by song and if I didn't like the song maybe I'd skip it.
Yep.
But like, the idea that you can just click shuffle on an album, it like almost feels like disrespectful. It
grosses me out.
Like I can't imagine putting out an album and being like, this is this, and the person's like, let me shuffle this. I don't like this track.
Or if I see the track list and see like a special feature on it like right away before I actually listen to the full album, I might just go check that out like real quick. If it's like a crazy song. But
see,
I try not to do that either.
That's why I'm glad that they stopped doing that. Like that's why I'm glad a lot of artists, like they'll put the features on later.
Yeah.
So it kind of catches you off guard and you're not inclined to just skip forward.
Yeah. And they don't necessarily put the feature like in the description, so you don't know where they're gonna be at.
They're in the title.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. If you had a gun to your head and you gotta sing every lyric to a song in order to stay alive, what song are you singing?
Shit. I really can't say. I don't know. Weirdly enough, you know the first song that came to my head?
What's that?
Fact by Eminem.
Fact by Eminem.
I don't know it.
You know that one?
Uh-uh.
Oh, okay. You're in for a treat if you listen to it.
Play it. Let's have him do it.
No, oh, hell yeah.
I'm putting you on the spot.
I'm not singing it word for word. Theoretically. No, because I'm thinking here. First of all, it's obviously got to be by a white artist. And then, like.
You don't have to rap it. I'm just curious. Fact?
Fact. F-A-C-K.
Oh, I thought you said fact at first, too.
No.
I was about to say, I think I might know this song.
Yeah.
It's from Curtain Call.
Yeah.
I know this song.
Yeah. It's the only one where I'm like, because it's so repetitive. And I listened to it when I was a kid.
Sounds like bro from South Park.
Oh.
Oh, Cartman. Oh, yeah, I'm never going to be able to unhear that now.
Speaking of that, I was listening to Sticky on the way out here, and you know the part where Tyler's like, "See, I'm a West Side," and he gets like that high note. Bro, someone said just next time you hear it, listen, like act like it's Mickey Mouse. And I swear to God.
It sounds like it.
Bro.
Have you seen that one dude on like I think it's Instagram where he like takes it and he's like ruining a song for you by showing you like who else it sounds like?
Yeah,
that's exactly like that. Yeah,
I like hearing the Red Hot Chili Peppers voiceovers. Those are hilarious.
Someone,
I don't know if you know what I'm talking about.
That song.
Oh yeah, I know what you're talking.
Those are hilarious.
Someone did that song. Midnight at the Hotel. I don't know what it's called. Mm. Call me if you want. I don't know what it's called. Someone said it sounds like Chris Rock, and then I listened to it, and it sounds like Chris Rock. Like I'm talking like. I imagined the zebra from Madagascar singing the song. Like, that's what popped in my head. I was like, that's crazy.
The Madagascar zebra.
What's his name in that?
I can't remember.
It was Alex and then the zebra.
I haven't
zebra.
Seen Madagascar
oh,
in
oh,
so long.
Oh, damn. I was literally just watching this with
it
my
was
girlfriend.
Gloria was
Gloria
the,
was
the hippo.
Was the hippo.
Alex the lion.
I feel like Jeff or something, maybe?
The giraffe. I don't remember what the giraffe was.
Jeff the giraffe feels too basic.
Yeah. It definitely was. Sheldon?
Sheldon?
I think so.
I don't know. I was going to fact check it.
I'm fine.
If it's Sheldon, then I definitely
keep going, but I'm finding out
what
the zebra was called.
I was going to ask you, you know, over like the next 10 years, where do you see this music taking you? Or like what other ventures do you plan on intertwining with the music or doing outside of music?
I'd love to work in music in any way possible. The business side of things, because I'm in business school right now, I'm studying global supply chain and marketing. So if anyone needs an intern, I need an internship.
Hey, get this guy an internship.
So please, I've been looking forever. I'd love to be able to combine those two worlds somehow. You know, I really was hoping to work for like, you know, like a studio or something. I put out applications for studios and all that. It's hard when you're an independent artist to try to get that out there, especially when you don't have any official training.
Yeah.
Everything you do is by the home.
Mm-hmm.
But that would be some area where I'd love to do work at. My ideal dream though would just be producer. I can work whenever I need to. I can lock in with as many artists as possible. I would love to work with like any single artist you name. I'd probably like to work with them. I'd at least want to, like I said, I want to get to know everyone on an individual basis. Even if they've got a weird personality and like the public sense or what they said on things, you know, you never know what people are like behind closed doors until you really get one-on-one with them.
Right. Yeah.
I mean, like, you just saw the shit about Dave Grohl come out. I mean, that shit was crazy.
I did not, actually.
Oh, you didn't see that? So, Dave, you know Dave Grohl, right?
He cheated on his wife or something. Okay, I did see that.
Like, he's like he was like the one beacon of hope where everyone's like, yeah, Dave Grohl.
Him and Keanu Reeves. Those are the Keanu Reeves might be
Keanu
the last
Reeves,
one.
Like, Keanu Reeves is the last one where everyone's just like, yeah, an amazing guy. But like I said, you never fully know until you know the person.
That's right. True.
So, like, I'd love to work with any artist pretty much imaginable. I would take great honor in that. My thing is I love hearing new opinions. I love hearing about just different ideas and things that I don't think about is one thing I really like to hear. That's one of the biggest reasons I came back to this side of the state. And it's nothing against Grand Rapids, but the diversity out there is like very minimum compared to what we're used to on this side of the state. So you kind of get, you know, clumped back into your own world. When you come to Wayne State, I mean, you're dealing with a whole bunch of different things. I mean, we got the Jewish population in West Bloomfield. Obviously, Dearborn is the biggest, has the biggest mosque in the United States.
Yeah.
You know, of course, the Mexican population downriver. It's Southwest, actually.
Detroit.
But like
Metro Detroit area. Yeah.
Metro Detroit, and that was one of the things I missed when I went out there. As I worked at the Guitar Center out here first on
Southfield.
Yeah, over in Southfield.
Went there. We got equipment from here.
Yeah, that's
here.
You check who sold it to you. I might know him.
What if it was him?
It wasn't just like him. I wasn't in the guitars. I wasn't in the music stuff. But learning new things is one thing that I love. I hate to be the same person I was last year.
It's fair.
And I will ever do that. I've said this 1,000 times, too. If I could go back and kick my ass as I was a freshman in high school, I'd take every chance I get. Take every chance I get. Yeah, but that's one thing I was a big fan of on this side of the state.
Okay.
Is coming back and just hearing new opinions and hearing new ideas. And it's an opportunity I never take for granted. I never take the opportunity to listen to someone for granted.
Hell yeah.
By the way, the zebra's name is Marty.
Oh, yes.
And the giraffe was Melman. Melman. I was close. The giraffe was Melman. Yeah. I was close. It wasn't Sheldon. It was Melman. All right, I had to say that.
Uh-huh.
No, I'm just going to say, after what he just said, like, it makes me excited to work with him because I think I can learn a lot from you.
And you sound like
yeah, you just sound very educated on it. And, like, I don't know. You got some dope opinions, and I want to pick your brain more, like, outside of this.
Yeah. You know?
Thanks, man. I appreciate that.
Damn.
You got anything?
2 for 2.
Yeah, this was a really good pod.
I'm glad.
You got anything?
And Cole, too.
Any shout-outs you want to give?
Yeah, Cole, too.
Follow me at Nick Gilmore Productions. Buy my beats. Don't rip them off YouTube MP3.
classic. Classic.
Please, it's like $5, $10. That's it.
You got it. You know you got it. You know how I know you got it is because I had it, and I went and got the YouTube MP3.
Hey, you can either pay me the $5 now, or you can give me royalties when it gets big.
Yeah.
That's fair.
Yeah, you got to pick.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Anything else?
Yeah, that's about it. Just follow me, listen to beats.
Appreciate you coming on. It was dope to finally meet
Absolutely.
You, man.
Nice
episode
meet you
for real.
Yeah.
With that being said, links are in the description. Go follow, buy his beats. Huh?
What episode?
67,
I think.
Damn.
Episode 67?
That's wild. What a good episode.
Yeah, this was a really good episode. Yeah. Both episodes today. If you haven't checked out last week's episode, go check that one out too.
You'll see him again.
Yep, him and his boy Cole. With that being said, like, comment, subscribe, and we'll see you guys next Sunday. Peace out.
We will.